Castlandia, I am here today with one of the fandom's favorite artists, Pineapple Bread. Pineapple, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is incredibly exciting. So before we get to talking about anything else, and I have questions both from me and from Ferret, I would love to hear your fandom origin story. How, like, not just Marvel, but like, when did you start becoming a fandom person?
Oh, probably middle school, honestly. I am a fandom old. I've been around for most of the big fandom wars and changes. So I haven't always been active in fandom, and it usually takes quite a lot for me to want to create work for fandom, but I have been around for quite a while.
So what were some of the fandoms you were in before Marvel?
I was really into the Star Trek movies, the AOS movies. I was really into Eames and Arthur from Inception. I was into Charles and Eric from X-Men First Class. I was into Clint and Coulson back in the 2012 days, and Steve and Tony right from the get-go, from Iron Man, actually. Didn't even cast Steve yet, and I was already sold.
Okay, tell me how. Talk to me about that.
So Iron Man kind of made me a super Robert Downey Jr. fan. It's Iron Man 1. So I saw that movie and I was instantly like, yes, he's amazing. I love him. So I dug through his entire filmography. Oh yeah, Sherlock was another one. The Sherlock movies with Robert Downey Jr. That was another fandom for me. And I decided that, like, oh, I just love him. So, and the Civil War comics had just come out a couple of years previously. And that was actually my first introduction to Marvel comic books. I read the Civil War arc, which is not the best idea. I don't recommend reading that first. But that was what got me into Steve and Tony as a pairing. And they didn't even cast Chris Evans at the time.
So when they cast Chris Evans, what were your feelings?
I was skeptical, honestly, because I saw Fantastic Four and I was like, oh, you want Johnny Storm as Steve Rogers? I don't know how I feel about that. And at the time, I remember it was down to him and Jensen Ackles and John Krasinski. I didn't want John Krasinski. I wanted Jensen Ackles as Steve Rogers. But I'm glad now, very glad now, that it was Chris Evans.
Yeah, I wanted Jensen Ackles as Clint. That was the one I wanted.
Oh, so that was a popular fan casting. That would have been great.
Yeah, I would have really enjoyed that. But that's water under the bridge and in our fandom hearts. So you are like an OG Stony that is both like a comic and movie hybrid.
I wouldn't say I'm an OG Stony. I was not active in fandom at all until Infinity War.
Okay, sorry, I meant emotionally, but you were, yes, totally definitely. Right. So what got you, so what was the trigger for Infinity War?
Oh, it's really simple. It's the beard.
I mean, friend, you are not alone in this. So at this point, I came into the fandom in 2019 and encountered your art really quickly. And I think you were in the throes of doing the Tattoo AU when I kind of discovered and fell in love with your work.
Oh, thank you.
So when you encountered the beard and was inspired to begin to create, is how we know your art now and what it was then, is that, are they pretty similar or was there a lot of evolution? Can you talk to me through that process?
There has definitely been some evolution in my art, especially in style. So I had been working in a specific style in the past because it is what I wanted my work to look like, but it was very, very labor intensive and it would take me like a ridiculous amount of time to finish anything, upwards of 20 hours usually at a time. So I've been streamlining that process lately. And I'm not sure how noticeable the difference is, but especially in the last couple of months, that's been moving more in my work where I can work a lot faster, but it looks a little bit different.
Okay. And what kind of, so I struggle with stick figures and I'm scared to even play Pictionary because I'm so bad at visually representing what I want to do. So can you unpack that a little bit more about style? Is it like in technique? Is there different medium you use?
Oh, sure.
Help me understand a little bit more because I'm an idiot.
No, you're not. But it is sort of like work. So to me, style is working in the way I feel most comfortable. And if I can push it in a way where it, where an, a piece of art looks the way I want it to, then that's great. But it's usually about comfort. I have carpal tunnel, so I never want to push myself too far physically. But the older style that I've been working in, the style that you see in the earlier Tattoo AU drawings, like the first Pink Steve one and the Tony ones, those were extremely labor intensive and it would take a lot just to finish something. And it became a point where I could only post once a week because it just took so damn long. But the style evolves because I am more familiar with these characters. So I can draw them a lot faster and I can draw them in a specific way now.
That makes total sense. And then I would imagine, I mean, you draw so many AUs, whether they're a series or they are, you know, one-offs. Like, as listeners, as we're recording this, there is a quite a Silver Fox Steve vibe happening in the fandom ether. So I would imagine kind of getting those characters in your head and what they're going to look like in the thing you're creating is also faster now too.
Sometimes they just come out the way that they look. Like I would be drawing and it would be a sudden thought in my head, like he would look better this way. He would look better with longer hair. He would look better with shorter hair. Should I shave the sides of his head? It would just come to me as I draw and it would show in the drawing as I shift. I would have like 10 different layers of a sketch of his hair before I decide on one, whichever one looks best. And that's usually how I end up designing things. I don't really have a preset plan most of the time. So that's why for the Silver Fox Steve, there are, I think, 3 versions of him that I did before I decided whichever one that I liked best for which AU.
That's so fascinating. It's like, I mean, the idea of layers are just like drafts with writers. And I don't think we, you know, talk to each other enough about that process.
It's true because the layers, the beautiful thing about digital art is that you can have layers and you can delete whichever layers that you want. And like traditional work, which sometimes you can't even erase.
Yeah, that was always art class in school back in the 80s. Erasers, they were never my friend. So I went with the words where I could always use whiteout was really how it was great. Cause I started in school when we were like word processors were still too expensive for most schools. So I typed my homework in first and second grade on my mom's old typewriter. But to kind of go back to the idea of characterization, I am fascinated with this idea that you create it as you're creating. And I know that sounds nuts, but that might sound crazy that I'm fascinated with that. But so many writers, and I am definitely one of these, I play around with ideas in my head forever, often, before I sit down and type. And then events happen and plot points kind of happen, but I know who the characters are before I start typing. I can't create them as I'm going. So that idea that you can is magical to me. Like, it's just so cool sounding that you can just kind of play around what they look like and then therefore create who they are as you do it. That's amazing.
Sometimes it's a team effort too, because I might post one character first and then people will be like, oh, how about this for Tony? Or how about this for Steve? And how about this for other characters? And if it's a great idea, I want to be able to incorporate it later on as I go, as the universe expands kind of. So the Tattoo AU has been a world building exercise for me for the past year and a half, where it just keeps growing. And a lot of the tattoos on a lot of these characters were input from people on Tumblr and Twitter. And a lot of these ideas came from them too. So it's really a collaborative effort too.
That's fascinating. So in terms of collaboration, I know you offer your work up for Marvel Trump's Hate and some other things like that. Do you work with writers in how you're creating these characters to kind of word and draw, or are they separate entities to you?
So for designs, I am always willing to incorporate collaboration for designs. Like, I feel like a lot of people might have a visual idea that I might not have thought of, but in terms of very personal projects like the Tattoo AU, I usually keep the core of the characters to myself and how I would characterize them.
That makes total sense. Yeah, that makes total sense. I think it's similar for people who collab on a regular basis, like the pieces that we kind of keep to ourselves and the pieces that we don't. Oh, that's interesting. So speaking of the Tattoo AU, and I'm shifting gears a little bit now, your name is fairly synonymous with the Tattoo AU, I think, to a lot of people. And like I said, off mic, your style is very distinctive and it's very easy to see. And when you share art on Twitter, inevitably four of my Discord servers become full of squeeing over it's new pineapple art. And people just kind of go on about how wonderful it is. And so I just want to like call a spade here. Like, you're kind of a name in fandom. Is that weird for you?
That's amazing, honestly. I had no intention, I guess, of ever reaching the audience that I do, but the Stephen Tony fandom has always been so welcoming and so encouraging, so supportive, that it really drove me to create more. And I guess the more I create, maybe it'll generate more attention.
Yeah, it's that kind of cycle where you have to do it. And I know you've done cons in the past. And so you've gotten to meet some of us in person.
Yes.
In that way. Or does our enthusiasm transfer from the screen to the in-person?
Very often, yes. And it's always such a joy to be able to meet people in fandom. I've had like hour-long conversations at my table before with people from fandom, and we'll just complain about Endgame to each other. We'll just talk about things. It's just amazing. I love it. I really miss conventions. I started off being very anxious about conventions because I have, you know, like social anxiety or whatever. But the more conventions I did, the better I became about them, because everybody was always so nice. And it just became really amazing to meet like-minded people.
Yeah, so many of us feel that way. And I know last year when we talked to some of the listeners about what they were going to miss about cons, it was often that camaraderie, the ability to be in the same room with other people talking about this thing that we love, that normally none of us say these words out loud. We say them in typing or in drawing, and that's kind of it. We don't get to sit around and say the phrase, well, Steve and Tony feel this way, out loud. And it's a real gift. It's a real privilege.
It really is. And to have to know that you're in a safe space where people think the way that you do, even if you might not agree on pairing or how these pairings work, is still really amazing that you can be open about these things. For some reason, fandom has sort of been like everybody's dirty little secret. So many of us are in fandom around the world, but nobody really wants to talk about it publicly for some reason. So just to have that space where you know it's safe to do so is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons we started the pod, was to give more people more spaces to talk about it. So obviously we agree. But in terms of, I've found in talking to some other people, and later on in this episode, Ferret and Saber and I are going to cover this a little bit more, but the people knowing who you are and having a brand, as it were, is sometimes a double-edged sword. Has it been that case for you, where sometimes the pressure to create or people having very strong opinions about your art, has that cut negatively for you, or has at any point in time?
Yeah, it has. I've had to turn off the anonymous messaging feature on Tumblr for that exact reason. And there have been cases where people get very angry at me about specific things. They might not like whatever topic it is I'm talking about. They might not like the work I'm doing, but it doesn't really matter in the long run. I'm not making it for them. I'm making it for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I could keep that. It's a struggle for me to keep that in mind sometimes. Because it just feels their anger feels so personal in a way that I know it's not. But sometimes it gets hard.
Yeah, that's definitely true, because they try to come at you in very personal ways, and it's usually an avalanche. It's never just one. It's always a group. But in the end, it's really about how you prioritize fandom. If it comes in the way of your mental health, then of course it's not worth it. But if you feel like your love for these characters can push beyond the negativity, then it's worth it to just keep going and to create these things that bring you so much joy.
I'm going to print that on a piece of paper and put it next to my desk, because it's something I need a lot of reminding of. We talked a little bit offline about how Discord isn't really your thing. There's a lot of creators who talk about, you know, creating for the community and we use the word community a lot on this pod, and I know on Discord, which isn't necessarily something that translates outside of Discord. So I'm really curious, how do you describe your relationship with fandom? Is community a word you would use?
I do think there's a great community in the fandom, and it is very much a community in that we all love the same things, we all want to talk about the same things, but it's getting harder and harder now to feel that sense of community, because Twitter doesn't really offer that. Twitter is more of a one-on-one response, and these days I'm not so often on Tumblr because of a lot of reasons, but it is harder now to find that sort of community, but I am very grateful for the big audience that I do get.
That makes sense, that it's like a both and kind of thing. And I know for folks who came through stuff like LiveJournal, and even people who are really active on DreamWith now, they miss a lot of that level of like a combination of a message board and a one-on-one conversation and kind of how things went. We don't really have that in terms of where fandom is the most active these days. So that's, I think for people for whom Discord does not work for any number of reasons, there's not a lot of other options to make and build a lot of relationships easily without a whole lot of hatred at the same time. Is that a fair statement, or is that overstating it, do you think?
No, that's very true, because I just keep thinking about something that Saber said, actually, that if you make yourself too accessible, then it becomes overwhelming. And that I feel like that might be the case for why I'm not a huge fan of Discord, because it does get very overwhelming. There are all of these giant communities on Discord with thousands of members, and the messages go so fast I can't keep up. And that's part of the reason why I prefer Twitter. It's more concentrated, and I feel like I can give my attention individually while keeping some distance for myself at the same time.
I've said that makes sense a lot, but it's so true. We think very differently about this thing that we all love, you and I, and I really appreciate I really appreciate your perspective on things. Twitter is almost exclusively a negative space for me. So it's really interesting to hear about the intimacy of a one-on-one and to have that recorrect in my brain. I think that's important to have. Gosh, I could keep talking to you forever, but I'm really, really conscious that I've already taken so much of your time. Is there kind of anything else that you would love our listeners to know about your feelings about Steve and Tony, your feelings about fandom, your feelings about tattoos, because you obviously love them on some level? Is there anything else you'd love to talk about?
Yeah, sure. I just keep developing this AU. I'm always constantly worried that people are sick of seeing me, honestly. It's always like this little thought in my head, regardless of whether or not that's true. But I am planning on expanding the AU more, hopefully write it one day, which is a big undertaking, I feel. And yeah, I do love tattoos. I collect them myself.
On your body or like in images?
On my body. on my body. I do, before the whole, you know, pandemic, I was in the process of getting a lot of tattoos last year, but obviously that didn't happen. but as a tattoo collector, I do know what these characters in my AU might be going through and their reasonings for having certain artwork. I don't collect the same way I have these characters doing, but I do understand why tattoos with specific meanings are so important to characters like Steve and Tony.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
So for when I collect tattoos, I collect artwork. I collect artists based on their style and what they're good at. So none of my tattoos really have much significant meaning. But for Steve and Tony, I've ascribed a lot of tattoos that do have a lot of meaning to them. Like Steve has his arm full of his teammates, like Thor, Bruce, Nat, Clint, and of course Tony. Tony is on his chest. Tony is the sacred heart on his chest, sort of a reflection of Tony's own arc reactor, but in a different form that Steve chose to permanently get on himself versus Tony, who never had the choice and he had to have it to survive. And on his other arm is his memorials for Bucky and for Peggy, of course, and the support system that he found in Sam. So for a lot of these characters, all of their tattoos do have meanings because they tell the story further, whereas I myself just want to appreciate art and have it on my body.
That's interesting. I always assume tattoos are significant, and I forget, just because it would take a lot for me personally and my understanding of pain and my own pain threshold for it to mark my body permanently. And it would have to be this very cheesy, like significant part of my life story. I would not be able to think of it, I don't think, of just as art, but I love folks that do. I look at tattoos all the time. I find them completely beautiful. I don't collect them upon my body. I collect them in my brain.
That's completely understandable. It's not for everybody, and it does take a lot to do the first one. The first one I was very hesitant about. It was a debate on whether or not I want to mark up my body permanently with something that I'm going to have for the rest of my life. But in the end, I chose to do it, and that unlocked it for me. It became a floodgate. It was just like, yeah, tattoos, more tattoos.
Amazing. And I can read that in how you draw Steve and Tony in that particular AU, that I could see it for them being a tiny thing or something that was reclaiming. And then all of a sudden it was like, I must have my entire life story all over my body and I must have it now.
It really is that way, because the original idea was that Steve was not comfortable in his new body because his body changed in the span of minutes. I cannot expect anybody to be comfortable with their bodies changing so drastically in such a short amount of time. So it was really about him reclaiming that body for himself.
That's beautiful. That's really, really beautiful.
And also, you know, they look great shirtless covered in ink, but that's just a bonus.
that's just the kink that we're just throwing around for shits and giggles. My gosh, in terms of other pieces of fandom that you enjoy, do you have any recommendations in either artists that we should be looking at or fic that you really love that you would love our listeners to consume?
I always recommend the work of Got the Silver. Kara has amazing fics, and her Fireside series really helped me get over the feelings I had about Endgame. So that's a great one. Highly recommend that series. And Fix by Holly and Vice, absolutely incredible series where Steve has two of the Infinity Stones and he keeps going back in time over and over again trying to save Tony. And of course, Eriton, she is writing a great AU with Silver Fox Steve, and that's super hot and very lovely.
Noted. Folks, we will have those links in the show notes as always so that you can enjoy them. Of those, I've only read Holly's Infinity Stone series, so I'm now excited to dive into the other two. Pineapple, this has been an absolute goddamn delight. Thank you so much for your time. And everyone, Pineapple, stuff to Pineapple's work will be in the show notes as well so that you can make sure to flood the love there as well.
Thank you so much for having me.